So what I want to look at tonight is just a real simple outline that I put together of the patterns of the Exodus and then the patterns of Jesus' fulfillment. It's pretty interesting. So one of the very first things, the story I just read, the very first thing is that the lamb is selected on Nisan 10, which is the 10 days into the first month of their new year. And the Exodus pattern, each household would choose a lamb. Now, Jesus' fulfillment of this is amazing, is that, you know, we look at the triumphal entry as him riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And one of the amazing things is that the triumphal entry publicly presents Jesus as the Lamb, and the nation, symbolically at that particular time, they select Jesus. Behold, you know, he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's the very first time that Jesus actually proclaimed himself to be king, proclaimed himself to be the Messiah publicly. He restrained himself from that all the way through. There were a lot of temptation to make him king, but he restrained it. And the nation itself accepted him. They threw down, you know, we call it Palm Sunday. They threw down the branches and received him in. And so that's the very first thing. The lamb is selected. The lamb is selected. And we see that in the fulfillment of the triumphal entry. The next thing, though, is the lamb is inspected. You remember that they're to take in a lamb, and they're to keep it for 4 days. It would be Nisan 11th through the 13th. They would keep that. And they would keep the lamb. And a lot of the stories of the past, a lot of the households would let it be in the household itself. They would see it, you know, the children would pet it and different things like that. But one of the reasons for that is they would examine it for blemishes. They would examine it for no ear, or, you know, a blind eye or something like that. It had to be perfect. So they would keep it in their household for that period of time from the 11th to the 13th in Nisan. And they would examine it for the defects. It's interesting now. Jesus' fulfillment of that for 4 days. Right after the triumphal entry, he entered into the temple for 4 days. And he was tested by the Sadducees, by the Pharisees, the Herodians, the priests, the lawyers, eventually even a little bit down the road by Pilate himself. If you remember, they tried to trick him. They set up different things. This coin, do you pay taxes to Caesar? Different things like that. And they set up four different tasks, tests with that. You know, they tested him about the resurrection. They tested him about, you know, paying taxes, different tests like that. And eventually, though, these temple officers, they came back to report to the priest, never a man spoke like this. And Pilate, he declared him, I find no fault. And that was the test of the Lamb of God, is that he was without blemish. Now, also, though, for those days of the leaven was removed in the household. If you remember that they had to search out throughout all the household, remove all the leaven. Eventually, they would have to burn that, and their household would not have any leaven in that. It was only unleavened bread. And like I said, they would burn it on Nisan 14. They would burn it in the morning. Well, Jesus' fulfillment of that was he cleansed the temple. You know, we often wonder why he overturned the tables and why he chased the people out of the temple, saying, hey, my house shall be a house of prayer, and you guys have made it a den of thieves. So just like the leaven was removed from every household, Jesus removed the leaven out of the house of God. Now, in Nisan 14, you have the Exodus pattern where the lamb is killed between the morning or between the evening twilights. There was actually two killings of the lamb in Jesus' day. One was for the Judean tribes, and the other one was for the Galileans up north, because there was such a rush of lambs, you might say. I mean, they estimated about 250,000 lambs would be slaughtered in total. So what they allowed the Galileans is to come down a little bit early. And actually, it's interesting, and I have a little paper here that I was looking at. It was a little interesting, is that the Galileans counted the day between sunrise to sunrise, okay? The Judeans, they counted it from sunset to sunset. It was all within Nisan 14, but it would be a beginning start and a beginning end differently. So it allowed the Galileans to bring their lamb down ahead of time. And so really the lambs that were slaughtered on, and it would be still Passover because how they counted the days, sunset to sunset, and then they'd have sunrise to sunrise. What they would happen is that they allowed the Galileans to come down and have the lamb slaughtered on Thursday. Now that there's a big hadoo of, you know, is it Good Friday? The main course of things happen on what we consider Good Friday or Friday, you know, Nisan 14 on Friday. So the Exodus pattern for this, though, is the lambs were killed between the evening or the twilight. The blood was applied for protection, and we're speaking about Exodus. No bones were broken, if you remember. So Jesus dies at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Passover, right in the heart, right in the heat of the slaughter aisle. And actually, there were so many, like I said, so many lambs being slaughtered, they would form these long lines where you would bring up first of all, it was your lamb. It was your lamb, the one that you kept with you for 4 days. You would bring it over to the priest, but you were the ones that were to slit its throat. And then they would catch the blood in golden buckets and that were rounded because they didn't want to set it down and coagulate or anything like that. And they would take this blood and then they would pass it to the next guy, to the next guy, to the next guy, all the way up. They would pour it on the altar, sprinkle it on the altar, and it would come back and empty, and they would do the cycle over and over again. So right at 3 p.m., like I said, the heart and the heat of the priest, and you have to imagine how much blood and different things. It was an amazing thing that Herod, when he built the temple, built a really sophisticated drainage system up there because there would be so much blood. They estimated it on 250,000 lambs, it would be somewhere 125,000 gallons of blood. So, and it poured into the Kidron Valley, into the river. It turned red. So right at the same time that they were slitting the throats of the lambs that they brought up and then taking it over, and they would hang it on a hook and they would cut off the fat and they would take the fat to the altar, and that would be the sacrifice. And then the people would take their lamb home and they would roast it and they would partake of the Passover meal. So in Exodus, no bone was broken. Fulfillment, Jesus dies at 3, right at 3. John mentions that in his gospel. As the Passover slaughter was at its height, his blood becomes a covering for sin. But if you remember, just as they sliced, you know, the throats of the lambs, they also pierced him with the spear and the blood poured out. Now, no bones were broken there, too. No bones were broken. Now, the Passover meal It's interesting because the question always arises, how can Jesus partake of the Passover meal because the lambs weren't slaughtered till Nisan the next morning, all right? Is that because the Galileans had that extra thing that they could come down from Galilee and get that the Passover lamb slaughtered early. So that's an interesting thing. Now Jesus, they had the Passover meal. The Exodus pattern was the lamb was eaten with what? Unleavened bread and bitter herbs. The bitter herbs reminding them of the bitter slavery that Pharaoh had taken them into. The covenant meal was shared by the household or the neighbors or the other family members that they would put out there. And I wanted to read this out of Matthew chapter 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples. Take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood in the new covenant. Exodus was the old covenant. This is the blood in my new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day that I drink it new with my Father's kingdom. So we see in the Last Supper, it's actually Passover and communion are tied together because we know that Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, you know, and we know that is one of the reasons we do communion, to remember this particular evening. So the new covenant meal was instituted that evening. Now I'm going to go a little bit beyond the evening where Jesus was, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The unleavened bread, that was a 7-day feast tied into, that would be the 15th through the 21st. It would be tied into the whole time of Passover. Actually, it was 10 days. It was a whole 10 days from the 10th day to the 21st day. They were to search their house to find, actually, no leaven was found in the house. And it was really the first day of the high Sabbath. And this is the period of time that Jesus rested in the tomb. It was a high Sabbath day, Nisan 15. And his body, well, we know will come to life the next day. So, and then Nisan 16 is the Exodus pattern. Is there the first sheaves of the harvest are offered to God? First fruits. The best is offered to God, the symbol of new life and acceptance, a new time. And Jesus' fulfillment on that is resurrection morning. We'll speak a lot about that on Sunday. So Christ, the first fruits of them that slept in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So it's kind of an interesting thing to be able to take all of this and understand that the precision of all this, I mean, everything that happened in Exodus and predicted in Exodus, it happened exactly as God had planned it, exactly as God had planned it. And I find that really reassuring because, you know, he's so precise about all of it. The triumphal entry, you know, the slaughter of the lambs, the questioning of Jesus, confirming that he was indeed a perfect sacrifice, you know, the different contentions that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had. If you remember during that period of time, he condemned, that was when things got hot and heavy, and he really condemned the Pharisees and the Sadducees, giving them the different parables of, you know, the son and the different parables that would mention taken away the kingdom from Israel itself. It's interesting, very interesting. So What I want to do now is I just want to have communion, if we could. And so if, Jeff, if you want to pass out the elements. I didn't want to make this really long, but I did want to make it a rejoicing factor tonight that, you know, you can look at the death of God, and I've mentioned that before, the death of God, and you can look at that and kind of be sad or I think it's something that we need to be able to appreciate, that what God has done for us. And so, and like I said, communion itself is just an extension of Passover. Passover was to be for all generations forevermore, and then we're going to partake of that this evening. So, you guys want to come up and worship? I got one. I'm going to sit down for a minute.
So I'll cherish the old rug.
You know, this is a very abbreviated service when you think about it. There's so much more that happened that evening. I always love to read the Gospel of John, where a lot of the detail is about Jesus leaving and telling the disciples he was going away, that he would, though, leave the Holy Spirit with us. And then you have the Gethsemane. I mean, what an amazing, brave God that we have that went through that for us, that great drops of blood. He sweated great drops of blood because of the intense pressure. I've always mentioned here and to other people that there's something simple about somebody being nailed to a cross, but there's not something simple about taking on the sins of the world at the same time. I mean, it's a brutal death, but at the same time, I think that we look at the intensity of what Jesus actually, when all the sins, your sins, my sins, the world's sins, past, present, future is poured out on him, where my God, you have forsaken me. I mean, the intensity of that. And the intensity of suffering, you know, being stabbed in the side, being crucified, crowns on his head, and all of those different things that it's easy to overlook that he did it for you. And he did it for me. And I think it's really important to consider all that. It's to realize that his joy was us. His joy was us. Just like Paul said, you know, my joy is you guys. And that's the way Jesus was. My joy to go to the cross was for you guys, for us. And so if you would, would you stand for a second? Would you stand? I'm going to take communion. I want to read something out of Corinthians that I like reading for communion. And take the cup and the bread in your hand. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for that great gift, Lord, that you bore for us, that we might live, Lord. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We look at you on the cross, Lord, and you said you would draw all men to yourself, and you have drawn us, Lord. One by one here tonight, Lord, from different times, different places, different circumstances, you've drawn us to you. And Lord, we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you, and I pray that you would put in us gracious hearts, Lord, that we would never forget what you put into this for us. So if you would, just take the bread and hold it up for a second. And let me read to you for what Paul said. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And if you could break it, if you could break it. He said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. do this in remembrance of me. So let's partake together, remembering what he's done for all of us. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, and so we take the cup before the Lord, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's partake together as a congregation, but as individuals to the Lord. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That Passover lamb. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who does eat and drink in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So let's pray. Father, I really don't know what to say. Just this amazing gift that started from eternity past, Lord, that you've decided to choose us, to take us, to bring us into eternity, Lord, that you have been faithful all the way along the way to keep us. I'm amazed at that, Lord, how much I resist, and yet you are so faithful. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for doing for all of us here tonight what we could never do for ourselves. So bless us now, Lord, as your people, Lord, your people, the covenant, the new covenant in your blood. Thank you that we have this eternal hope in the heavens, that nothing can separate us from your love, Lord. So bless our time now, Lord. Bless our worship to you, and may it be to you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.